From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June the 10th, 2008. Each week we try to tackle a topic of timely interest in the geospatial community. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Media. Today I'll address the importance of browsers, hardware, and speed. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Experience the geographic advantage with ESRI's ArcGIS server, a comprehensive platform for cost-effectively delivering enterprise GIS applications. Learn more about ArcGIS server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Over the course of the last 40 years in the development of geospatial technology, having the right computer hardware was of utmost importance. You know, software was tied to hardware. There were proprietary systems. That was kind of the norm. At Intergraph, where I used to work for a time, the company not only produced the software and the operating systems, but they bent the metal, as we would say, in Huntsville, where Unix workstations were manufactured. Intergraph even designed the microprocessors used in their computers, which led to a very ugly intellectual property lawsuit with Intel, which they eventually won. But over the course of the 40 years, you know, geospatial technology had been built for IBM mainframes, PDP-11s, faxes, mini-vaxes, PCs, and laptops. The argument for a particular kind of hardware has largely vanished and has certainly now shifted to other concerns. But back in those days, in the early 90s, you know, there was kind of a tipping point, which we moved from the workstation space, the Unix-based solutions to PCs. We certainly wanted that speed. We wanted, you know, speed for our newly minted desktop mapping solution. So we wanted that 286 processor. We wanted that new one when we moved to the 386 processor and the 486 Intel microprocessors. We always wanted more speed. We wanted a better graphics card. These were real issues for geospatial technologists. The tipping point came, I think, at a time when we had better microprocessors and the software was more optimized for those solutions. So while today we still want a good machine, the laptops that we're currently using or the desk side units seem to be adequate for the client side solutions that we currently use. So if you were a geospatial user, certainly speed was critical. Certainly cost was also critical. Right now, hardware continues to come down in price, as does memory, storage, and graphics drivers. So it's likely that you're somewhat satisfied with your system, even though bigger and faster is always nice. But the issue still is speed, it's just that the argument has changed. The issue now is moving to browsers and location servers, as well as how geospatial data is stored and retrieved. But for the sake of this discussion, I wanted to focus on browsers, as now we kind of move everything to the web. So it's the ability to retrieve and display information is where the argument lies. The only issue I wanted to raise with location servers and databases is that it's really important to know how the data is stored, indexed, and served, as that will impact the retrieval by the browser. But the browser can be the bottleneck, and I wanted to provide some background comparisons on the types of browsers you may be using. So as an example, and you may try this as well, I opened up a map of Northeast Georgia in Mozilla and Internet Explorer. This was an area that I had previously selected. And I opened it up in Mozilla. It took under a second. When I opened it up in Internet Explorer, it was about 1.5 seconds. So not a great deal of difference, but still a difference nonetheless. There was a recent article by Walter Mossberg that I wanted to mention on some of the browsers. Walt Mossberg writes two columns and edits a third for the Wall Street Journal. He also publishes periodic interviews for the journal and occasionally has blog posts on an online publication called All Things Digital. So from Mossberg, I quote, "I opened identical folders containing some 16 bookmarks on both Internet Explorer 7 and Firefox 3.0. i.e. took 37 seconds to completely display the 16 pages, but the new Firefox did it in just 23 seconds. on a new Apple iMac. I did a similar but more daunting test, opening identical folders containing 24 bookmarks. Safari rendered all of the pages in 36 seconds, but the new Firefox finished the job in 32 seconds. The latest Firefox has a number of new and improved features. If you type any word or phrase into its address bar, the browser instantly searches your history and bookmarks for a possible match to save you from typing or combing through your bookmark list, end quote. So obviously, you know, he's done some comparisons on the speed of retrieval, and Firefox 3.0, which is new to come out very soon here, has sort of got the edge. The one other thing to note here is security, and obviously security is a concern, and the browsers are becoming more sophisticated in watching your back. I use Norton Symantec Firewall to watch for fraudulent websites, but browsers are building in sufficient security as well. Again, from Mossberg. Security is also improved. The old version of Firefox would warn you when a site you are visiting appeared to be a fake designed to steal your identity. Internet Explorer has a similar feature, though Safari doesn't. But Firefox 3.0 now warns you about sites that are known for trying to plant viruses, spyware, and other malicious software on your computer, a warning the other big browsers don't yet provide. With one click, Firefox 3.0 also provides details about who owns the site you're visiting and whether it's encrypted if the site owner has adopted a special type of security certificate, end quote. So at the bottom line here, I encourage you to test your browser if you have not done it in a while and compare the loading time for your web-based mapping program. You know, if you're using an ARC-based program or something from Integraph or MapInfo or any of the location server companies, it's a good idea to check to see what your speed of loading time is for the various browsers. And you may find that selecting a different type of browser is different than what you're currently using. Of course, looking ahead our browsers for mobile devices, that, of course, is a different issue, and perhaps that's something for a future podcast topic. I've got one final thought. You know, I was on vacation last week attending Boy Scout camp with my son, and I took two GPS devices with me. I had a Garmin 201, which I've used for running for many years, and also a Magellan Mobile Mapper Professional. I had fun with both as I traversed some of the trails in and around Clayton, Georgia. The Mobile Mapper unit from Magellan was extremely good at capturing the waypoints and allowing me to put a description for each waypoint in there. I had a lot of fun. I mapped several of the few key camp locations, and I hope to upload that into a mapping program just to get it down and secured and saved. I was a little disappointed, though, with the time to fix, which took several minutes on the mobile mapper, so I had really expected better. In terms of my Garmin 201, I thought it was a real champ, and even while hiking in a heavily tree-canopied area, it generally kept a fix on the satellite at all times. I had fun dropping breadcrumbs along the trail that I was hiking, and that worked great. I had no problems with that. I'm sure there were more upgraded models to the 201, but this unit worked extremely well for finding my way back to the origin of the trailhead that I was using. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that they offer a variety of self-study and instructor-led training to suit your learning style, schedule, and budget. Classes are held at U.S. learning centers across the country with many options available over the Internet as well. Check out the ESRI course catalog online to find the training that best suits your needs. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. I'd also like to mention that we currently have a call for presentations to our second annual Rocket City Geospatial Conference. They'll be held November 18th to 20th. That's sponsored by yours truly, Directions Media. Abstracts are due August 31st, but please don't delay, as we usually have a backlog for contributed presentations. The conference will span GIS Day, which is kind of appropriate, as our keynote speaker will be Mr. Jack Dangerman, president of ESRI. Hope you can join us. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tell a friend.